Nearly 7 months after a pro-Trump mob stormed the U.S. Capitol, prosecutors are laying out their case against hundreds of individual rioters and also against far-right militia groups at large. The Justice Department has charged dozens of people with conspiracy, including members of at least three organizations that they say helped organize the push to stop Congress from certifying President Biden's election victory on January 6th. Micah Lowinger has been following this for WNYC's On the Media, and he joins us now. Hi, Micah.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. So last year, you listened in on and corresponded with some of these militia group members on an app they were using called Zello. We'll link our listeners to your investigations at herenow.org. But what are you learning, Micah, now from the prosecutions of some of these people that were at the Capitol on January 6th that lines up with what you were hearing in the weeks and months leading up to that event?
Well, in the months leading up to January 6th, we saw many instances in which far-right groups were recruiting around events in the news, such as lockdown protests, fears about Black Lives Matter protests, conspiracy theories about Antifa, and then eventually conspiracy theories about some plan to steal the election from Donald Trump, which we know never happened. And I was listening in on groups on Zello, this walkie-talkie app, and then eventually on January 6th, I listened in on a woman named Jessica Watkins, who's a member of a far-right group called the Oath Keepers, as she was actually breaking into the Capitol, speaking with people who are listening in from home. And right now, federal prosecutors are trying to make a case that members from some of these far-right groups, like the Oath Keepers, a militia called the Three Percenters, and then, of course, the street gang known as the Proud Boys, had actually planned to break into the Capitol, that it wasn't just a heat-of-the-moment manifestation of their anger about the direction of the election and the direction of the country, but actually a plan to stop the peaceful transfer of power and create some sort of diversion that would allow Trump to maintain power in some way.
Well, some of the tape that you recorded, Micah, from your investigation last year made its way into the congressional hearing about the January 6th event last week. Here's part of that video that the committee played at the start of the hearing, beginning with the voice of a woman you just mentioned, Jessica Watkins, a member of the group The Oath Keepers.
Hey, brother, we're boots on the ground here. We're moving on to Capitol now. I'll give you a boots on the ground update here in a few.
Multiple Capitol entries! Multiple Capitol entries!
Are you still in touch with some of these people?
Yes. I have maintained contact with some people in the militia movement who used Zello and were sort of swimming in similar waters to Jessica Watkins and other people who would break into the Capitol. By and large, most of these people have stopped responding to my messages, or they have been just kicked off the platform. After our reporting came out, Zello deleted something like 2,000 militia-related channels, like the one on which Jessica Watkins was speaking, which has probably played some role in destabilizing some of these far-right groups that relied on the Zello networks for recruitment and organizing. But of course, the other side of the coin is that when you deplatform groups, they become a little bit harder to find, at least in the short term.
Well, the scope of the investigations into the insurrection is really staggering. The Justice Department has charged hundreds of people and roughly 40 of them with conspiracy. You mentioned that this has had really a destabilizing effect on many of these groups, no?
That's right. So the three groups that have received the most scrutiny from the press, the public, and from law enforcement are the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, and the Three Percenters. In one way or another, all three groups have been grappling with infighting, with questions about the competence of their leaders. And in many cases, some of these groups are splintering. Some are dissolving altogether. There was an organization called the 3% Originals. They just completely dissolved after January 6th. They said, it's become too hard to do what we do. The insurrection made us look really bad. And so, you know, we're throwing in the towel for now.
Do you know, Micah, how many people at the Capitol were part of a militia group versus people who were there for a rally and now are telling prosecutors that they just got swept up in the whole thing?
Yes. By one estimate, only 15% of people who've been arrested had an identified affiliation with an extremist group. So about 85%, the vast majority of people, were not members of an extremist group ahead of January 6th. Mm. On one hand, we could say, well, this points to an idea that researchers of the far right have been talking about for many years called the post-organizational paradigm, meaning perhaps we're entering into a period of far right organizing where you don't actually have to be a member of a far right group to participate in far right violence. It also means that you don't have to be in a far right group to consume conspiracy theories, disinformation, extremist material on the internet. And in many cases, we see people who showed up to January 6th who were concerned that the election was being stolen, but they weren't members of a militia. It is hard to know what exactly this means about the future of far right violence in this country. It's certainly the case that with some of these groups in disarray, their potential to commit violence might sort of come down in the short term, and their national profile might be sort of quieter for a little while. But I am not convinced that their recent violence has all that much to do with just Trump. There's certainly evidence that far-right groups and the conspiracy theories and propaganda that they peddled in has been sort of swelling for many years at this point. They will continue to respond to the culture war and the political climate with or without a leader like Trump.
That's WNYC reporter Micah Loewinger. Micah, thank you very much.
Thank you.